This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Slow hand. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. You know that song, Layla, right there? That song, one of the most memorable music moments in a movie ever. The movie Goodfellas. And I don't want to spoil it for you if you've never seen the great mob movie, Martin Scorsese's Goodfellas. But when that song plays in that movie, it's one of the most memorable times a song has ever played in a movie. When they start finding the bodies. Again, I'm not gonna spoil it for you, but you know, there are times in movies when songs are used and they're perfect in that particular movie. When Layla is heard in the movie Goodfellas, it's one of the most memorable times you'll ever hear a song, one of the most memorable songs ever used in a scene in a movie. So on our show, we have talked about GoFundMes a few times. Very memorable GoFundMes. When something happens to someone and it makes the news, and then all of a sudden a GoFundMe account is set up on Facebook, on social media. And we've talked about a few of them. Here's another one. This will go right at the top of the list of most memorable GoFundMes that we've seen. Last week, the horrible story. A 75-year-old Asian woman was attacked in San Francisco. And she fought back against her 39-year-old attacker. Can you imagine what kind of a 39-year-old human being are you if you're attacking a 75-year-old Asian woman? Couldn't you find any older women to beat up? What, was there no 80 or 85-year-old or 90-year-old woman walking down the street that you could find that you could attack and beat up? Yeah, last week in San Francisco, a 75-year-old Asian woman, she fought back against her 39-year-old attacker after police say he hit her while she was waiting to cross the street in the city of San Francisco. It's a city where people wear flowers in their hair. Well, they used to in the 60s, at least, Summer of Love. Well, here's some great news. The 75-year-old Asian woman who was attacked, and she fought back. She got nearly $1 million from a GoFundMe. Well, you know what she's doing? She's donating the $1 million that GoFundMe.
$1 million.
She's insisting on making this decision, saying that the issue is bigger than her. A GoFundMe update from her family said yesterday. The page, the GoFundMe, was initially created to assist. Her name is Zhao Zhenji. And I think that's how you pronounce that. You spell her first name X-I-A-O. Her second name, Z-H-E-N. And then her third name, X-I-E. So that would be Zhao Zhenji. I believe I pronounced that right the first time. I'm not the greatest expert on speaking Chinese. When she was beat up last week in San Francisco, she was left with two black eyes, a swollen wrist, and PTSD. That's post-traumatic stress disorder. Her grandson, John Chen, said that the GoFundMe had a goal of $50,000. But donors have donated more than $922,000. It's nice when you see people donate to a GoFundMe to help someone that deserves it. And again, we've seen mostly righteous GoFundMes set up, and they've all hit their goal, or they've all gone way over their goal. Even the local Gorilla Glue girl here in St. Bernard Parish. I mean, she put a bunch of glue in her hair, and she set up a GoFundMe for herself, and it got a lot of money, and even for that. I mean, it sucks having a bunch of glue in your hair for a month and having the same ponytail in your hair for a month. While the 75-year-old Asian woman who was beat up, the Chinese woman in San Francisco, got a couple of black eyes and a swollen wrist and PTSD, well, she got more than the 50 grand than her son was looking for. And you know, you're seeing where some people are saying in our country, stop the Asian hate. You know, there was a shooting in the Atlanta, Georgia area last week. It went all around Atlanta, and there were 8 people shot. 6 of them happened to be Asian women, and all of those Asian women, I don't want to say they were prostitutes, but they did work in Asian massage parlors where they did more for men looking for sex than just massaging parts of the body.
I'm having a hard time believing that just overnight, or just because of this coronavirus, the hate against Asian Americans had a like super duper spike. Because I know most Americans are smart enough to know that Asian Americans aren't from their, you know, they're not necessarily from their country that their ancestry is from.
Like, no, there are several different countries in Asia, and there's not many Americans that can pick out which country Asian people are from. But there's not many Americans that can say, oh, she must be Chinese, he must be Japanese, oh, this one must be Vietnamese. Oh, this one must be... No, you can't.
And then the other thing that bothers me is I believe that the majority of the country is smart enough to know that the average Asian person that you see walking down the street is not in on the whole conspiracy of sending the virus from China to America. Like, why? Like, I don't get if there is an uptick in violence against Asian Americans, and if it is true, it's because, because when Trump was in office, he made the association between coronavirus and China. I don't think that's how that works. I hope that the American people are smart enough not to correlate the two incidences. And yeah, every time they see a random Asian person, don't know their country of origin or who they're for, an Asian guy named George, and you just go beat George up simply because of a coronavirus that he's possibly not, that he's nowhere near responsible for. Like, I don't think that's how it works, but I guess the media has to do something, right?
Yeah, and you know, it sucks if there's a few idiot people who are attacking Asian people because they think they're Chinese or they have something to do with the coronavirus. You know, that situation with that with the Asian prostitutes in the Atlanta area, that guy, that shooter, he was a sex addict. Mm-hmm. And he was taking out his frustrations about being addicted to sex against prostitutes, Asian prostitutes. That's what he was doing. And that was horrible. I mean, all those women, six out of the eight women who were killed in Atlanta last week, they happened to be Asian women who worked at massage parlors. And that was wrong, of course, too. Obviously, just like this 75-year-old Asian woman who was beaten up in San Francisco. Well, now she got a GoFundMe that her son set up for her. It got $1 million and she's donating it.
That's
how cool is that? How cool is that?
And it is cool to know, like, the guy that did the shooting in Atlanta, the stigma of racism is so bad that he'd rather be known as a sex-addicted murderer than a racist. Like, when the news came out, oh, this
well,
guy...
Well, no, the news...
Yeah, the news
the
said...
The news right, is the news pinning said, him as an Asian...
Right, and he shooter. Had to say, hey, wait, I'm not a racist. I'm just a sex addict and a murderer. Don't put racism on me. Like, he had to come out and defend himself and say, dude, I'd rather be known as the racist murderer. I mean,
the sex-addicted murderer than the racist murderer.
That goes to show you.
Absolutely. Slow down here before you start labeling people. So some good news came out of some bad news here. It just shows you America, and it shows you the heart of Americans when a 75-year-old Asian woman is beat up in San Francisco and her son sets up a GoFundMe to help pay for some of the medical bills. He's only looking for 50 grand. And what does he get in the GoFundMe? $1 million, and she donates it. It's a bad story that turned into a good story, and it's a feel-good story. And well, as feel-good as a story can be when a 75-year-old Asian woman gets beat up. So, good news this morning. Okay, we have a lot to get to on the show. Fallout from the horrible behavior at LSU and the continues from the football program. And man, I mean, we saw Les Miles lose his job for what happened when he was at LSU, what he did. Well, now someone else there, the former LSU president, just lost his job as well. Stay tuned for that. We have a lot of stuff we got to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And you know that song right there, Come On, Feel the Noise from Quiet Riot? It was the biggest hit they ever had, and it was a cover song. They didn't want to do it originally, but it turned out to be the right move. The song was originally done in the 1970s by the band Slade, and Slade had several hits. Slade was a fun kind of glam rock band from the 70s, But if you're not familiar with much of their music, you should go listen. They had a bunch of really good songs back then, the band Slade.
All right. A few weeks ago, you was talking about what's butt rock, right?
Yeah.
What's glam rock? Is the glam rock the glitter and the glitz and the teased hair, the big hair?
Coleman, glam rock started in the 70s. Glam rock was David Bowie.
Ah, okay.
Glam rock was T-Rex.
All right.
A guy named Mark Bolan. Glam rock was Slade. Yeah, just the outfits, makeup. And then you could say once we got into the 80s, you know, glam rock went to another level with bands like Poison.
Okay.
But it started glam rock. It started in the 70s with the few bands I just named, and then it went to another level.
The exact opposite of grunge then.
In the 80s. Absolutely. It was 180 degrees away from grunge. Because grunge, those bands that came around in the 90s out of Seattle, you know, those bands like Nirvana, they looked at glam rock saying, we've gotten out of control. They looked at what was huge in the 80s, and they said, we got to get back to rock, you know, with the lipstick and the makeup and the hair and the clothes. No, and that's why when grunge became big in the 90s, it kind of knocked all of those 80s bands not only off the charts, but a lot of them out of the business.
So you think grunge is responsible for the emo bands that came after that? So like grunge took it to the level where, all right, we have to get away from glam rock. And then after that, you had those, the emo bands where they just dressed in all black, everything, and just brooding like, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, everything led, when you look at rock and roll, everything led to something else that came after it. And you just brought up emu, you know, the animals, the birds.
No, emo, like goth, like the goth, dark, emo.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, the emu birds helped lead to that, too. No, but when you look at the history of rock, everything led to what came after it. And there was a reason why things happened like that. So, but no, when I hear that song by Quiet Riot, I think you'd like Slade. Yeah, I think you would if you like. And they weren't. I mean, they were a lot bigger over in England where they were from, and in Europe where they were from. They were a lot bigger over there than they were over here. They never made it absolutely huge over here, Slade. They were huge in Europe, but you know, there are some bands that not a lot of people over here in the United States who are rock fans. There are bands that they don't know about, and I think if you listen to them, and if people listen to them, they would like them. And I think Slade is one of those bands. I think Thin Lizzy is one of those bands. I mean, Thin Lizzy, they made it over here, but they didn't make it over here as big as they made it over in Europe. And I mean, if you like guitar rock, Thin Lizzy is a band there's a ton of songs that you would love from Thin Lizzy. You know, a lot more than what you know about, what a lot of people know about. The Boys Are Back in Town. They have a lot of really good guitar rock songs. And I feel the same way about Slade as well. So, did you see who lost their job? You can add this person to the list coming out of the investigation that's going on at LSU or into LSU, Louisiana State University's football program. You know, first it was Les Miles. A couple of weeks ago, he lost his job as the head football coach at Kansas University there for what he did while he was the football coach at LSU. It came out in this investigation that he was reprimanded by higher-ups at LSU because he was texting female students. He was alone with female students, and they felt uncomfortable, and they reported it to LSU. Well, nothing happened to Les Miles while he was the football coach at LSU because they were winning games.
Well, no, they did reprimand him. They said he can't talk to anybody. He can't.
Well, they reprimanded him, but he never.
But, yeah, he didn't lose his job or anything, but he was reprimanded.
And not only didn't he lose his job, nobody outside the school, the university, nobody outside knew that Les Miles did that, was put female students in uncomfortable positions by being alone with them. And he was reprimanded. He was told never to text a female student again. Stop talking to female students.
And the fact that we haven't heard about it leads me to believe that he didn't violate that. So when they told Les Miles, hey, stop harassing the female students or doing whatever, and he still kept his job and nobody knew about it, I think that means he didn't. Like, whatever they told him not to do, he didn't do
it. But Coleman, that's not the only thing that happened while Les Miles was the coach at LSU.
All right. I'm just making a point.
There were football players at LSU raping students at LSU, female students, sexually assaulting students. And not just when Les Miles was coach. It's looking like now while Ed Orgeron was around. I don't know how he's going to survive this, by the way, when this investigation finally fully comes to light. I don't know how he's going to survive this. Because now the man who was president of LSU while Les Miles was the football coach, a guy by the name of F. King Alexander, he left. He became president out at Oregon State University. Well, he's no longer president at Oregon State University. He resigned yesterday. He was forced out at Oregon State University because while he was president at LSU, there were football players raping female students. And so add F. King Alexander to the list of people who lost their jobs because of what happened while he was at LSU in Baton Rouge. You got Les Miles, now you got F. King Alexander. He says he will resign from Oregon State University effective April 1st. And that's no April Fool's prank. Again, this move comes amid an outpouring of criticism of his handling of sexual misconduct complaints during his time as president at LSU. There were a few other LSU higher-ups, too, that we know of that have either been suspended or lost their jobs. And again, this is because football players at LSU were raping women, students, and LSU higher-ups kept it quiet.
Do we know that for sure, though?
We know that for sure.
So we absolutely know. We know that there was sexual misconduct, sexual accusations, but do we know there was actually full-on rape? Because I'm thinking. Yeah,
this is what this investigation that is going on now that is showing.
So I think we should wait till the investigation finishes before we just flat out say the students were raping women, because rape means somebody, the police should have been involved. Like, I can
see. Darius Geis.
Darius Geis, what happened with him?
We know for a fact, Coleman, Geis, yes, that there were female students at LSU. That while he was a star running back at LSU, he raped, he sexually assaulted.
I could go with sexual assault,
because nothing happened to him, LSU. Right. They wanted to, protect the program. You don't say anything. He's got to keep running on Saturdays. And since nothing happened to him, he then was a first-round draft choice in the NFL, and he got kicked out of the NFL for raping women. The Washington football team just did that because he's thinking, hey, I could get away with it. Look what mm-hmm. happened to me at LSU. Look what I did. And look what, there was never any punishment for me at LSU. He goes into the NFL, and what does he do? He rapes women. And he sexually assaults women. And now he gets kicked off of the Washington football team.
Because they called the police on him. Well, whoever he assaulted when he was in the NFL, those women called the police instead of going to the coach or whatever. They go to the police when these things happen. But now I think it's just safe for us to say, let's wait until the investigation concludes
It's pretty obvious. I don't know how Ed Orgeron is going to survive this. I don't know how the current coach is going to survive this. Their basketball coach, their basketball team just lost in the second round of the NCAA College Hoops Tournament. I don't know how he still has a job there. We'll wait. He is on audio recording making offers, telling people, hey, we got to make a bigger offer. We got to make to get basketball players to pay them to come play there. Yet he's still their coach. He was suspended, but he came back. He is on audio recording talking about paying players to go play there. Yet he still has a job. I don't know how Will Wade still has a job as the basketball coach there. And now we've seen Les Miles lose his job at Kansas because of what he did when he was coaching at LSU. Now we just saw the president of Oregon State University lose his job because of what he didn't do or did or didn't do while he was president at LSU. F. King Alexander just resigned yesterday as president of Oregon State because of what happened on his watch while he was at LSU. I don't know exactly when this investigation is going to be wrapped up and finished, but I can promise you this, and I want LSU to win too. I root for LSU. I live here too. They are going to be penalized big time. If you're an LSU football fan, I wouldn't get excited about this coming season or next season because I think they are going to be, they're going to be knocked out of being eligible for any bowl. I think, and I don't know how Ed Orgeron is going to survive this investigation that's going on right now, because what was happening in that, at that school with those players, and they didn't get in any trouble for it. Well, now this investigation that's happening right now, again, I don't know when it's going to end. We've talked about this investigation a few times on the show, but there are some bleak, dark times coming for the LSU football program. It's coming. I don't know exactly when, but the things that are being found out and what they did and did not do when it came to their football players raping and sexually assaulting women for the last decade. That's what this investigation that's happening now. And they're finding out all of this stuff. And now you're seeing the Les Miles, F. King Alexander, who's next, and what's next for the program.
This is a good point. This text says, John needs to understand that we have a little thing called due process.
That's right. And we're seeing that due process happening right now.
No, I think he means in the court of law, not the court of public opinion.
Well, here's a football coach just lost his job. Les Miles. Here's a president of a university who just lost his job. F. King Alexander out at Oregon State because of what happened while they were at LSU. What went on underneath them. And yeah, you're right about the due process, but this investigation is finding out a lot of stuff, and we'll see. But F. King Alexander resigned yesterday as president of Oregon State University because of what happened while he was president at LSU. All right. Coming up on the show, we talked about that priest in Pearl River with the two dominatrixes, or the, what are they called?
Dominatrices.
The dominatrices. He just pleaded not guilty in a St. Tammany Parish courtroom. And I think Coleman's right. I don't know if what he did was against the law. I know he did sex the priest on the altar with two dominatrices. But what did he do that was against the law? He was arrested and charged with, what was he charged with?
First it was doing sex with a lewd act in view of the public, but...
Yeah, but it was just...
They'd reduced it to vandalism.
Vandalism.
Right.
He was just, and he pleaded not guilty for vandalism. I guess you could say he vandalized the altar at the Catholic Church with the two dumb, but what did he do that was against the law? He did sex at his workplace. Now, sure, we're not supposed to do that. Like if an attractive woman walked in here right now, Coleman, and I did sex with her, you know, on the table here at work. Sure, that would be against my work rules, but would I get arrested for anything? I think you're right. I don't know what he did to... We'll talk about that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. We have a lot to do on the show this morning. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Zebra, hey, they're from here in New Orleans. And let's hear from a band from next door, the middle of nowhere in Mississippi. Here's Three Doors Down, Neighbors, and Separated by a Generation or So. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Anti-vaccine graffiti left on two Metairie pharmacies. Somebody spray painted, "Don't get the vaccine," on one pharmacy in Metairie. The vandal also wrote the words, "Fear no evil." The "don't get the vaccine," those were the words spray painted on the sidewalk in front of A1 Pharmacy in Metairie yesterday. The vandal wrote, "Fear no evil," were made on the CVS pharmacy right up the street from the A1 Pharmacy in Metairie. The Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office is investigating the early morning crimes and believe the two acts of vandalism are related. Yeah, that would have to be one hell of a coincidence.
I'll have to check the handwriting. Is the handwriting exactly the same?
The spray painting?
Yeah.
Look, it's one. And look, the health experts in our country are telling us they need 75% to 80% of Americans, 80% of Americans, to get vaccinated, to get the shot.
I don't think that's the point here. I think the point is, even if you are trying to make a case to not get vaccinated or fear no evil, what do you think is better, by spray painting the message or actually making a nice little sign at, well, we used to have what they call the copying place, where you make a nice little sign with some good font and you make a poster board. If you saw a spray painted sign and a nice billboard or postered sign, which one would you more inclined to listen to?
I hear what you're saying, Coleman, although as we sit here in the year 2021, graffiti and some parts of New Orleans and cities all over America, some graffiti is looked at as art.
I know that, but is it looked at as endorsement and advertising? I never looked at something that was sprayed with graffiti paint and said, you know what, I'll try that. You know, they said put the Big Mac in big letters, try a Big Mac, but they spray painted it instead of putting it on a billboard. I would not try the Big Mac if it was spray painted instead of seeing like a nice billboard, some flashy colors, you know.
Well, I wouldn't look at something spray painted on a pharmacy or on the sidewalk in front of a pharmacy that's spray painted, "Don't get the vaccine." I wouldn't look at that as art.
Or advertisement or promotion. It's vandalism.
And so, look, we know what our medical experts are telling us, that what we need to stop the COVID-19 from spreading and for us to get back to normal, or as close to back to normal as we can be, they need 80% of us, 75 to 80% of Americans, to get the vaccine. Look, I don't want to get it either, but I'll get it if it gets people back to work, if it gets us going again like we were before this damn virus. And did you see where our National Guard, a convoy of our National Guard transporting the COVID vaccines, were run off the road and held at gunpoint the other day in West Texas? You had some lunatic, a guy named Larry Lee Harris. He sees a convoy of our National Guard transporting COVID vaccines, and he decides with a gun to run it off the road and hold our National Guard at gunpoint. What is it with some of these anti-vaccine people? Look, it's one thing if you don't want to get the vaccine, well, whatever. But to be spray painting "don't get the vaccine" on pharmacies, and to be running a National Guard convoy with our National Guard, the convoy has a bunch of the vaccinations in the truck, to be running it off the road at gunpoint, the hell's wrong with people?
I want that they find a Vando. Is he going to have three names, too?
No. Well, this guy, yeah, Larry Lee Harris. Well, he's just Larry Harris. He's a 66-year-old guy, nut, from Arizona. Isn't that something, though, tailing a convoy of our National Guard with a gun and then being able to pull it over at gunpoint? Anyways. All right, coming up next, the priest who did sex in the Pearl River Church, the altar with the two dominatrices, he just pleaded not guilty to vandalism. And I think he's right. Did he really commit a crime? That's next. He just pleaded that in the St. Tammany Parish courtroom here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, it's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. And we have an update on a story that we just updated a couple of days ago that we talked about a few months ago. You remember, if you were listening or if you pay attention to the local news, this past September, a priest at a Pearl River church got arrested because in the middle of the night, he was inside the church on the altar with a couple of dominatrices. And they were video recording an adult film. And the update is he just pleaded not guilty 2 days ago on Monday in St. Tammany Parish, in a courtroom there, he pleaded not guilty to vandalism charges. That's what they ended up charging him with. Originally, they charged him with something more serious, but then they realized they couldn't charge him with that, so they ended up charging him with vandalism. Now, the story goes that this past September, a neighbor, someone who lives right near that church, was walking by the church in the middle of the night, and he noticed that there was a light on in the church. So he walked over to the church and looked in the window, obviously not stained glass. He looked in the window where he saw the priest with two women dressed in corsets, only in corsets and high heels. They were on the altar, and there were cameras around them. They were video recording an adult film. And so the man walking down the street called the police, and the police showed up, and they went in the church, and they said, what in God's name is going on in here? And they ended up arresting 37-year-old Father Travis Clark. And they arrested the two women who he hired to go there into the church and to make the, try to make the adult film. The two women were either dominatrixes or dominatrices. 41-year-old Mindy Dixon of Washington State and 28-year-old Melissa Chang.
She was a hooah.
Of Georgia. They were arrested. So the three of these people were arrested for what they were doing inside of that church.
Right. The original charge was lewd sex in public or in public view. They felt like since that guy who was the peeping Tom peeked in and was able to see it, they were trying to make the case that, oh, you were doing the dominatrix stuff in plain view. That was the original charge, but then they lessened it to just
vandalism. And so 2 days ago on Monday, the former priest pleaded not guilty to vandalizing, to the vandalism charge.
Right, because although they were doing something immoral on the altar, there was no damage to it other than the butthurt damage, and they had to burn it.
Well, that's the thing. Once this became known, I think the next day, some of the parishioners or people who worked at that church up there in Pearl River, they physically removed the altar from the church. They took it outside and they burned it.
Right. And that's a smart move. It's kind of hard to prove vandalism when you destroy the item that you had supposedly vandalized. So it's like, even if they had
vandalized,
even if they had evidence that he vandalized the altar, well, they burned the evidence so they can't take it to court and say, see, this is the way he vandalized it. They burned the evidence, so they messed up their own little case that they tried to make.
So when we talked about this the other day, Coleman, I got to give you credit. You were the one who said, what crime did he commit? Right. Now, we all know, now I'm Catholic, and even though, Coleman, you're the most honest guy, one of the most honest people I know, you're an atheist. You're looking for something to believe in.
Yeah, I'm waiting on a sign.
You're like that Poison song. Give me something to believe in. But Coleman, you said the other day you don't believe any crime was committed. And, you know, I said to you, well, the guy's got it. I mean, he's a priest. He's not only doing sex with hired women, hired dominatrices, on the altar in the middle of the night. There had to be a crime committed. But the more I think about this as a Catholic and as just an American human being, I think you're right. I don't know if he committed any crime. What did he vandalize? That would be like, because he worked there. He was a priest at that church. So he decided to call two women who are professional dominatrices. And he said, come to the church. We're gonna make an adult film, a porno film. We're gonna video record it here in this church in Pearl River. And when we were talking about it, you said, I don't think any crime was committed because he worked there. He invited two people over to where he worked. That would be like if I called up two dominatrices and said, hey, come here to the radio station. We will video record some sort of adult film. Now, my bosses would be mad at me. The people that run Bayou 95.7, I'd probably be fired, like this guy, like this former father, Travis Clark, was fired. But did I do anything to break the law?
Exactly. See, I believe that the situation is handled internally. Since it happened within the Catholic Church, I think the Catholic Church has the right to discipline this guy as they see fit. But when it comes to the court of law of the land, I don't really believe he did anything that you can consider illegal. Like, one could say, well, what about prostitution? Well, the thing is, we don't necessarily know if he done sex, like paid money for sex, because dominatrices, they usually get off on, you know, sex acts, like beating.
Dominating.
Yeah, dominating, not necessarily sex itself. So we don't know whether prostitution was done. However, I do believe that the guy who, the peeping Tom, he should be charged with peeping Tom because he came
the
in.
The concerned neighbor who saw the light out when he was walking by the church in the middle of the night?
If a crime is committed, I think the peeping Tom is the most likely crime that was committed. Do I think the priest did something wrong? Of course. It's immoral. It's not ethical.
Sure, sure.
He violated the tenets, but is it legally?
No. But how are they even going to get him on this misdemeanor vandalism charge when, like you mentioned, they burned all the evidence when they burned the altar the next day?
Well, when we talked about it originally, I agree with one of the Texans. They just say, let the priest pay for the burnt altar. No harm, no foul. Look, you're not a part of our church no more, but up the money so we can get a new altar and we call it even. That's what I think it should have been.
So I'm going to ask you to text us right now. Do you think this vandalism charge is gonna stick? If he's got a decent lawyer, they got to throw that out, right? Sure, what he did was wrong, but did he break any laws by hiring the dominatrices to video record an adult film on the altar of the Catholic Church in Pearl River in St. Tammany Parish? I don't think he broke any laws. Sure, so much of what he did was wrong, but did he break any laws? So do you think that vandalism charge is going to stick? I don't. Text us, 504-260-9595. Please don't text while you're driving. Keep it short. If it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. And right now, we're making it rain. Every hour of every weekday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., we give you the chance to win $1,000. We're making it rain. Just listen for the keyword that Coleman's about to give you here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. The Ellen DeGeneres Show, the Louisiana native Ellen DeGeneres, her television talk show has lost more than 1 million viewers since last season. It's all because of the news that was made about her show, a toxic workplace and all of that. So it looks like it could be the beginning of the end of her daytime talk show that's been on for like 18 years. And she'll always be a billionaire, a multi-millionaire. But it looks like things could be coming to an end with her daytime talk show. Meanwhile, in the daytime talk show wars, Kelly Clarkson just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Hey, coming up next on the show, your texts on the priest who was just charged and pleaded not guilty in a St. Tammany Parish courtroom to vandalism charges when he hired the two dominatrices to do sex and video record an adult film inside of that church in Pearl River. We don't even think a crime was committed. Sure, it was morally wrong. Your texts, I asked you if you thought he was charged with vandalism. I mean, they burnt the altar. What did he vandalize? That's next. Your texts on that here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. That song, Eye of the Tiger by Survivor. Did you know that while Sylvester Stallone was making the movie Rocky III, because that's where that song became famous, when Stallone was making that movie, he wanted to use the Queen song, Another One Bites the Dust. Queen said, no, we're not letting you use our song for your movie. So Sylvester Stallone ran into a couple of guys in the band Survivor who were unknown at that point, and Stallone asked them if they could write something similar to Another One Bites the Dust. So the lead guitarist of Survivor timed out some chords to punches in the movie. They showed him the movie, and the guitarist timed out chords to the punches in the movie Rocky III, and that's how he wrote the song Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, the dun, 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 dun. That's
all the punches.
Yeah, yeah. So it ended up sounding nothing like Another One Bites the Dust at the end of the production.
No, but that ended up being obviously the biggest hit that band ever had. And the songwriters, whichever guys in the band, the guitar player and the singer in the band Survivor who wrote that song, they never had to write another song in their lives. They have made so much money off of that one song. But I just thought that was wild how Stallone wanted to use Another One Bites the Dust by Queen. They said no. And then this unknown band he just bumped into, and they came up with that. Mind equals blown. So if you're just joining us, we were talking about an update on an update of a story. 2 days ago on Monday, in a St. Tammany Parish courtroom, the former Pearl River priest pleaded not guilty to vandalism charges for his role in hiring two dominatrices to video record an adult film in a church in Pearl River last September. We talked about it when news broke about that. And they wanted to charge him and the two women. Authorities wanted to charge them with something more serious, but they couldn't find anything more serious to charge him with. So they charged him with vandalism. Remember, he was 37 years old at the time, last September. Father Travis Clark, he hired a 41-year-old dominatrix and a 28-year-old dominatrix. And in the middle of the night, they went into that church, the Catholic church in Pearl River, and they started video. The two women were wearing corsets and high heels. And I think the father was just, I think he was wearing his priest outfit. I don't know if he had the collar on or not, but there were lights on. It was the middle of the night because they were on the altar video recording what they wanted to be an adult film. Some neighbor was walking by in the middle of the night, noticed that the lights were on. He walked over, looked in the window, saw what he saw, and he called the cops, and they were arrested, originally charged with something more serious. But authorities, what can they charge him with? So they charged him with vandalism. I don't even know if that's going to stick, because the next day after this news broke, parishioners of that church, they took the altar outside and they lit it on fire and they burned it. They can't be praying to something that an adult film was just attempted to be made on. So, 2 days ago, the former priest was in a St. Tammany Parish courtroom where he pleaded not guilty to vandalism charges. And I asked you to text us, is any of this going to stick? Look, I'm Catholic and it was wrong what he did, but did he break any laws? Were any laws broken? We don't think so.
Ethan says, as an officer, the vandalism shouldn't stick. It should be handled internally. Paul says, you say they destroyed the evidence, but they do have a video. Morgan says, I don't think the peeping Tom guy should be charged with anything. As a Catholic, you're expected to keep an eye on the church. And if he's seen a light, something suspicious could have been going on at midnight. You know, a Catholic church always get robbed and vandalized, so he did the right thing. Nick says, unless you use parishioners' money, then it's just a moral issue. And it doesn't appear like anything that is worth any charges unless they charge him with making a tasteless video. We had a lot more.
We had a lot more. And what I said on Monday when we were talking about this has been reiterated by a bunch of people texting. When I saw this story, I said, wait a minute, a Catholic priest with two female adult women? And I said, wow, I mean, that's the only good news in this. They were all consensual. And they were women and they were adults. They weren't underage boys.
I'll squeeze this one in. The reason it's not prostitution is because they were hired as actresses, not sex workers. This is why people film their acts these days.
Thank you for the texts. We appreciate that. Coleman, when we talked about this Monday, I think you nailed this. I don't think any laws were broken. It was morally wrong and the parishioners should be upset. They burnt the altar. But that vandalism charge shouldn't even stick in the St. Tammany Parish courtroom. What a wild story. That story made national news, by the way. They were talking about that in the New York Post, of all places. Jeez. All right, coming up next. The weather yesterday and today, pretty rough, although it's gonna clear up soon. But you should not be driving with flashing lights on your car. Do you know that that's against the law? That's more against the law than a priest hiring two dominatrices to make an adult film in the middle of the night on the altar of a Catholic church. Driving with your flashing lights on during a rainstorm is illegal and it's unsafe. You shouldn't do it. We'll explain more coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. New Orleans morning radio show. And the weather, it's going to be getting better fairly soon. But we knew, they told us it was going to be rainy and stormy and windy yesterday and today and even through tomorrow. But it's the weather, it's moving through. Some people lost power around here yesterday. And if you were driving yesterday during any of the storm, did you notice people around you who were driving with their blinking lights on?
Yes. Well, I drove through the entirety of the storm. I was there for the whole thing. And yeah, people were having their hazard lights on because they were stuck. Not because it was driving with the flashing lights on, but some of the cars that are lower, they couldn't make it through some.
But I'm not talking about cars being stuck with their flashing lights.
Driving?
I'm talking about people driving in a rainstorm with their blinking, flashing lights on, with their hazard lights on.
I didn't see any of that, no.
I noticed a few people doing that. That is against the law. You should not drive with your hazard lights on. It's illegal and it's unsafe. And the Louisiana State Police were saying over the last couple of days that they can give you a ticket for doing that.
In the rain or in general?
You shouldn't drive with your flashing lights on ever. But the problem is, Coleman, when it starts raining, when there's a storm, there's a lot of people who drive with their flashing hazard lights on, and they're driving down the road in the rainstorm with their hazard lights on.
I'm guilty of driving with my hazard lights on if I have a flat tire and I'm moving slow, or if I feel like my car's about to crap out. I do ride with my hazard lights on to tell other people behind me to go around me because my car's about to crap out. So I'm guilty of it. So even if I'm driving with a busted tire and I'm trying to get to the curb or to a gas station to fill it up, I still shouldn't do that?
No, you shouldn't do that. This is from the Louisiana State Police. Hazard lights should only be used if a vehicle is disabled in the roadway or on the shoulder. That's it. Your vehicle has to be stopped for your hazard lights to be on. Because the problem is, and Louisiana State Police say there is no need to use your flashing lights while driving in the rain. Here's why. Because if you're driving in the rainstorm and you got your hazard flashing lights flashing, other drivers won't be able to tell. Let's say you turn on one of your I'm turning right or I'm turning left. If you turn on one of those signals,
okay,
someone might not be able to tell because your lights are flashing and they wait a minute. Now something else is flashing over here. Even if the car in front of you hits their brake lights, if you have flashing lights on your car, people might not know, well, wait, you're braking because you got all these different lights flashing on your car while you're driving.
I can understand that. So basically when your hazard lights are on, if you use your blinker, it doesn't really register because your hazard lights are on and both of your blinkers are blinking at the same time. So you can't signal to the driver behind you whether you're making a right or a left. Because I was about to ask, well, how aren't we supposed to use our hazard lights? But when you have ambulances or tow trucks, they have their sirens on, but they still have the use of their blinkers even when they have their sirens and all their flashlights on.
Well, because those are ambulances, those are cop cars, those are fire trucks.
Yeah, but even when they have their stuff going, their lights going, they still have use of their blinkers so they can indicate whether they're about to make a right or a left because their flashing lights aren't their hazard lights.
Yeah, yeah. These rules are just for non-emergency vehicles. Vehicles that don't have sirens on them and lights on their roofs. But the Louisiana State Police say hazards can make it difficult for others to see turn signals or brake lights or cause them to think that you are stopped in the road. Also, a car that is stalled with hazards on may get hit by a driver who doesn't anticipate proper braking distance because they think the car is moving. And I noticed yesterday, I saw several cars driving with their hazard lights on, their flashing lights on. And then when I went on Facebook, I saw a bunch of people cursing them out on social media, on Facebook, saying, what are you idiots doing driving with your hazards on?
So why are the people driving on Facebook? You're not supposed to be Facebooking and driving either.
Well, maybe they waited until they got to wherever they were going to then go on Facebook and say, hey, I just saw a bunch of people driving with their hazard lights on. You idiots, you shouldn't be doing that.
Awesome. Have you ever been pissed off at something so bad that you waited until you got home to tweet social media about it? If somebody did something to me out and about, and then it takes me about 15 minutes to get home, I don't think the anger in me would muster up to be like, you know what, I had to Facebook this at, you know, 15 minutes ago, this happened to me.
Well, I noticed on Facebook yesterday, several of my Facebook friends saying that they were driving in the storm and they saw other drivers driving in the storm who had their hazards on, their flashing lights on. And then they called them some names that I can't repeat here on the radio show. You should not drive at any time with your hazards on. Even if you got a flat tire, even if your car's about to break down, don't put your hazards on. Just pull over and have your car break down.
I just found out that I was a criminal, John. Didn't I know that was against the law? Because whenever my tire's low or I need to make repairs or I'm going to the auto parts store, I do put my hazards on because I'm thinking, I'm indicating to other people, hey, watch out for my car. Anything can happen, you know, if something bad happens. But now I know that I'm...
No, because then those people might not be able to tell if your right turn signal is on or your left turn signal is on or you're hitting your brake lights. They won't know.
Now, is flashing on Bourbon Street still legal?
Yes.
Cool.
That is legal.
Is it, though? I don't think flashing in real life... I think you still can get in trouble if you flash on Bourbon Street. It's just that the cops are lenient towards it.
But right now, if you flash on Bourbon Street, you have to have your mask on your face.
Right.
So make sure you do that. But go figure that driving with your hazard lights on is more of a crime, is more illegal than a priest hiring two dominatrices to make an adult video on the altar of a Catholic church in the middle of the night. There's no doubt about it that the driving with the flashing lights is more illegal than that. All right. Coming up on the show, got the dumbest thing I read all morning. Also, I just want to say this real quick. There's a high school football team in Massachusetts who is in trouble because in the quarterback's cadence, one of the words that they used to change the play was anti-Semitic. And the school might get in trouble. I'll tell you right now, the word was Auschwitz. When the quarterback got up to the line of scrimmage and he wanted to change the play, he would say, blue 19, blue 19, Auschwitz, Auschwitz. And that would change the play.
Are you now, sure he's not saying off switch?
No, they were saying Auschwitz,
hmm.
where the prison camp was, the concentration camp. So now that high school is being called anti-Semitic for having Auschwitz in their audibles and in their play calls at the line of scrimmage. Just when you thought you heard it all, huh? Well, that's coming up. Hey, and right now, you'll have an opportunity to win $1,000 making it rain here on Bayou 95.7 New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7 New Orleans only classic rock station. If you needed any extra incentive to get your COVID vaccination shot, Krispy Kreme Donuts will give you a free donut every day this year if you've been vaccinated. All you got to do is pull into Krispy Kreme. Just show them that you got vaccinated. Show them the proof. They give you a little card that says you've been vaccinated. They will give you a free glazed donut every day for the rest of this year. We're still only in March.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't diabetes one of the reasons why some people are COVID susceptible than others?
Well, Krispy Kreme, Coleman, They want people to be healthy. And so they're going to give people a free glazed donut every day for the rest of this year. All you got to do is pull in the Krispy Kreme, any Krispy Kreme donut, and just show proof that you've been vaccinated, and they will take care of your health with you by giving you one free original glazed donut. Hey, Krispy Kreme's looking out for your health. Coming up next on the show, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this has to be either the dumbest or most mentally ill car thief imaginable. Wait to hear this story next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. They found a naked Florida woman who was rescued from a storm drain. And that was going to be the dumbest thing I read all morning. But luckily, they found her because she had been missing for a couple of weeks. And a naked Florida woman was rescued from a storm drain. So I'm glad everything worked out with her. That was going to be the dumbest thing I read all morning. But then I saw this story. Quebec man steals police car as he was being arrested for stealing another police car. You know, how many people steal one police car in their lives? Look at this guy. In one day, he stole two.
That's 4 stars on Grand Theft Auto.
The major crimes division up there in Quebec, Canada, investigating a man. He fled the police department vehicle. He fled in a police department vehicle. He was arrested for that. And then he briefly fled again in another police vehicle. So he stole one police car. They caught him while they were processing him. He stole another police car.
You know what? You learn something new every day on this show. I just realized that Canada has police cars. I always thought the mounted police rode mooses or something. I didn't know what they had. But I never pictured a Canadian police car, and just the idea that Canada has police cars is blowing my mind right now.
Well, Coleman, they do ride mooses. They also ride Zambonis. And they have police cars as well.
They call it the mounted police, so I thought they mounted on. Wow, this is a whole new world that I'm living in today.
This happened 2 days ago during the lunch hour at 12:30 in the afternoon. Guy steals two police cars. The middle of the day on Monday. According to the report, one of the town's police asked for assistance to help find their vehicle, which was stolen after an intervention tied to a disorganized man. Okay, so you've got a police force. They're dealing with a quote-unquote disorganized man, and he steals their police car. So they call another police force. And that the second police force found the vehicle on a highway up there. The guy was driving on. The man didn't stop or pull over. The man hit a concrete divider and he continued to drive. Then they threw down a spike strip.
Wow, Canada has spike strips?
They have those too.
Wow.
And the man drove over the spike strip in his car, the police car, the second police car, finally came to a stop. Yeah, I think they keep the spike strips in the saddlebags on the side of the mooses, Coleman.
Right, I always thought like when the mounted police apprehend a Canadian criminal. Canadians are so polite that the criminal would voluntarily hop in the back of the moose with him without even being handcuffed. Like, hey, mate, hey, you have to, you did a bad thing. You're arrested. And the Canadian criminal would be like, okay, I'll hop on the back. You know, that's what I always thought how it worked.
You know, when I was younger, I got arrested a couple of times. I mean, nothing serious, no felonies, a few misdemeanors. But that, I've been in the back of a police car. That'd be a pretty cool way to go to the police station if you get arrested on the back of a moose. Well, anyways, this guy is in his 30s.
Was that in Canadian years?
And he was arrested and brought to a hospital. And obviously he needs to be looked at in a mental hospital, because imagine stealing not one, but two police cars from two different forces in the same day.
And that's what I'm talking about Canada. Look how polite they are. They, when they arrested this guy, they didn't even bring him to like the real jail. They were so nice. They were like, you know what? Maybe this guy needs help. So instead of locking him up, they brought him to get psychiatric help. Like, dude, wow.
Well, you definitely need psychiatric help if you steal two police cars in one day.
You know, sometimes I look at Canada as a completely different world, but we can learn some things from Canada. How awesome would it be if the United States police forces, all of our law enforcement, if they recognize you need help right off the bat, they take you to get help instead of taking you right to the jail. I mean, I know if you're seriously injured, they take you to the hospital to get medically checked up. But think about it. If you arrest somebody and it's clear that they have some mental disabilities or mental issues, instead of bringing them to jail, they bring you right to a psychiatric hospital. I think that would be the bomb.
Well, I don't know the exact percentage, but there's a lot of people who get arrested who have mental disabilities or have mental illness. And then the next thing you know, they're sitting in Orleans Parish Prison over here next to some guy who just shot somebody in the face. Anyways, the Quebec, Canada man who stole a police car as he was being arrested for stealing another police car. Two police cars he stole in the same day. That's the dumbest or the bravest thing that I read all morning. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.